So I've got shamrocks on today. I saw this vestment that the Peters family gave us some while back. And I thought, you know, maybe to make up for my ancestry, the Norwegians, you know, they plundered Ireland in the 10th century. Thought maybe I should do something to reconcile. But more importantly, Patrick used the shamrock as the symbol of the Trinity. And of course, that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating this great feast of the Trinity. And for Patrick, it was a very simple expletive. Not that the Trinity was simple, but the explanation that he gave, which was that there was that unity in that little shamrock, but the diversity of the three parts. And so we have Patrick's gift to us of the three persons in this one God, one substance, three persons. Now, how that all works out and how we come to that in our way of living and in our final communication of life is beyond, I think, every one of us. But at least I share that with you and wear that today for that reason. I think that today I'd just like to begin with a little story that I heard in help me a little bit through the week. It's written by a man named John Kenny called Truth in Advertising. And it's about a young man who is in New York City, and he's a advertising agent, and he's really doing well. He's a very popular guy, and he's got lots of people that he is contacting, and he's making some real good headway. He's just got a lot of good energy. But this young man, according to Kenny, really came from a very bad family situation. His father was abusive. His mother committed suicide as a result of that abuse. He had a ferocious relationship with his sister and brother. And so he really just did not have a good life. And so when things got tight and tense and tired, he went to a really dark place. And so he became very... he became cruel at times and difficult to work and to live with. And he had this wonderful friend, this woman, who saw that goodness inside him, but also saw the struggle. And so she decided that she would every day contact him. I don't know if they did it by iPhone or by phone or however, but every day they would play this game together. And so when he would lash out in some kind of depression, she would remind him of that one singular thing that they were to do every day. And it was simply this. One beautiful thing. All she asked ever of their relationship is that every day, no matter what state he was in, that he would look for and she would look for one beautiful thing on this day. And so it became kind of a banter back and forth. But ultimately and finally, it became this incredible source of energy and life for this young man who found life very difficult. He says, I would sometimes think about a city worker on a cold morning who would take off a jacket, put it underneath a heating grate for a man who was homeless. Or I saw a one-legged skier who keeps falling down but gets up again and again, refusing to give up. An elderly couple who he saw at the hospital hours before and after by the side of his wife who was in bed, reading to her, holding her hand, even though she was asleep. The welcome that he received from this good friend, from her family, on holidays that he never celebrated with his own family. So he'd find that one beautiful thing every day, and that somehow would help in that journey that he had with her. I thought about that in relation to the Trinity. while we can't probably understand what the Trinity really means or is, certainly we do know that it is the relationship of Father to Son, that great love that existed between the Father and the Son. And that Son's love, that outpouring of his love for us in his death and resurrection. And that somehow the love between the Father and the Son pours into and creates this third person, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit that was left by the Father and Son for each of us. So that Spirit lives in each one of us. That Spirit is alive and well in all of the world, no matter what we call ourselves, no matter what life of faith, no matter what our tradition, that Spirit persists and endures in each of us and in this world. And that somehow that relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit impels us, if we live in the image and likeness of our God, and that's what we say, first thing we learn as a kid, we're born in the image and likeness of our God. It means then that a lonely life, a solitary life, a life without community, a life without relationship is not reflective of the gift that we have been given. And you and I know that the world is pervasive. There is so much depression in this world. There is so much darkness and anxiety in people's life. So many people live alone, eat alone, never speak to anyone, live in this cocoon. And that's the darkness of life. And so while we don't really understand the Trinity except through a shamrock, we can at least come to know that gift. What it means in relationship. And I would suggest this morning in that one beautiful thing that we could find each day. We see it in our families. We see it in our lives. We see it in our relationships. So, on Thursday, I was on my way to the graduation for our 136 high school students. Great kids, all graduating. Every single one of them, 100% going on to some college. And it's a great night there at Loyola Marymount. And I had just read this little reflection, and I was thinking about it in relationship to Trinity Sunday. And I went to a Starbucks right near Loyola Marymount just to get a little kick before I got into that great celebration. That's the only way I can get a kick these days. Starbucks coffee. So I went in there and just found a wonderful line of people. And when I got up to the counter, there was a young man right ahead of me, a young Asian man, maybe in his early 30s. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you a priest?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm a pastor." And he was so proud and excited about it. And I said, "Oh, really? Where are you?" And he said, "Well, you know, we don't have a church." He said, "We're in a school, in a school auditorium up near the 405 freeway near Barrington. I don't know where it is, but someplace in that area, evangelical church." And he began to describe what he went through in his conversion process as a young man. And how he had come to know Christ, and how he had come to decide that he wanted to become a minister of the church. And so he's starting this through, some organization, Agape or some group. He's starting his own community now. He's planting his own church. And he was just an extraordinary young guy, and he was so full of energy. And I was thinking to myself, you know, he doesn't have a church. He's got his bedroom for his office. I mean, he's got nothing. And I've got all of this and all of you. And then he turns to me and he says, "Father Lloyd, let me buy you that cup of coffee." Now, I got a caramel, one of those things that costs a little bit more. He didn't know that when he offered it. So he hands his little card to the, I said, please, no. Lawrence, don't, I'm happy to, no, no, no. And I just thought to myself, what a beautiful thing that is. Standing in a Starbucks in this godforsaken city of Los Angeles. And here we are chatting about this encounter he's had with Christ, how it's come to make him a whole new person, how he's now ministering in a church, and he buys me a cup of coffee. Something beautiful for God. There's something beautiful in that. I actually saw the great presence of God in that young man, and I wished him well. I hope that his life is full. He certainly has the right attitude. On yesterday's CNN was this beautiful story of Zach Zoliak. I don't know if you got the chance to hear about it. Zach is a 17-year-old young man who was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer about 6 weeks ago. He just died. And he knew he had 6 weeks. And so he decided that his approach in these 6 weeks was just to think nothing about himself. Not about his disease, not about the progress of the disease, just about other people. And so he wrote a song, and it became the number one iTunes song over the last couple of weeks in the nation. And it's just about living without the diagnosis of cancer, living the same way he's attempting to live in these last 6 weeks. Living in the power and gift of the moment. Living not so much with my own concerns and my own needs and my own feelings and my grumpy spirit, but trying to figure out how to help somebody else today. And then he created this foundation. Got to think somewhere near $1 million. To help young kids who have the same diagnosis of cancer and hopefully to look for some cure. And then the guy that was the reporter said they went and visited him. Now, mind you, he had 6 weeks to live, Zach. And the reporter said he was overwhelmed because he gave him hours and hours of his time. The precious gift of the little time that that young man had left, who would never graduate from high school, who would never marry the girlfriend that he had, who would never see his adult life. He gave that time to this reporter. It overwhelmed him. It wasn't the story, it was this kid. Some one thing beautiful for God today. I don't know if that helps you in this great Sunday of Trinity, but it helps me. It helps me to put my head around that great mystery. To understand that this powerful gift of Father, Son, and Spirit is living. And in the gift of the Spirit, we are living. And if we can just open our eyes, we will see that manifest gift of God's love in our lives. I'd like to conclude with something that our brother Pope Francis said yesterday. This guy is 76 years of age, 3 years older than I am, and he's on fire. The stuff that he's saying to our church, I hope you're listening to. I've never heard anyone in that position or place, especially a pope, talk with such practical care and love. Yesterday he said, churches, keep your doors open. Locked doors don't do anything. And then he used the example of a young girl coming into a church and meeting a secretary or someone in charge of the church. And she says, I have just had a child and I want the child baptized. And the response of this Christian is, you can't have the child baptized because you don't have a husband. He said, that's crazy. He didn't use that word, but that's what he was saying. That's a locked community. We're manifestly manipulating the grace of God. We have a desire to know and love our God. And God wants to know us. He talked about a young couple coming in for marriage. He met a secretary or a Christian in the community. And instead of saying, terrific, the person says, sit down, it's going to cost you a lot of money, and give me your baptismal certificate. You see, it's a way of thinking. This morning, he went and visited a church. He went out and visited one of the churches in Rome. Helicoptered him in, you know, blah, 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 and he came down. He got into the church. You know what he did? He didn't just say mass. He didn't just talk to people. He heard confessions. How about that? Whoa. How do you come to that kind of, how do you live like that? That's what I'm trying to learn. And I think today is a good day for us. Good day just to reflect on the powerful gift of this God, but especially the manifest gift of this God in us. And to look today for that one beautiful thing. And by the way, take a look at those doors. Wide open. Amen.